Thank you, Jay. Thank you, everybody. Oh, it seems like we've covered a lot already, doesn't it? Ready for part two. It's been really encouraging so far as we're about halfway through this series of the rhythms of grace now. It's been really encouraging for me to hear stories. I've had lots of emails over the last few weeks of people saying, actually, look, this is the work that God's doing in me. This is how God is changing me. This is how God is sort of stirring up some stuff and bringing new life in me. And I just love to have those emails. And if you've got stories, then please email me. Send these emails coming because it's good to share these stories. So far, as we've already talked about, we've particularly covered rhythms 1 and 2 by God's grace. And just that reminder, it's actually about God's work in us. It's not just about us trying harder. It's about God's work in us. By God's grace, I will seek to set aside time for prayer, worship, and Bible reading. By God's grace, I seek to be open to the power, presence, guidance, and power of the Holy Spirit. And today we continue. By God's grace, I seek to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And then we'll go on to rhythms 4 and 5 in the next couple of weeks, which are more the outward stuff. But I've dwelt in these rhythms for several years now. I did them quite a lot while I was up in Shrewsbury and found it really helpful for me personally. But out of all the rhythms, it's rhythm 3 which probably has had the most significant impact on me. And I'm different because I've dwelt in rhythm 3. And if you ask Alice, she'll probably concur with that too. But you better ask her. She's not here today. And I want to just start by asking some questions. Question 1, how have we changed since we first became a Christian? How have we changed? Have we changed since we first became a Christian? Or about this one, how have we become more like Jesus in the last 5 years? Or maybe even in the last year? Or what about this one? Do we live expectantly that God can and will change us for the better? Or do we just simply shrug our shoulders and say, well, that's just me. I've gone as far as I can go. They're challenging questions, aren't they? And questions which probably, if we're honest, we don't think about very often. You see, I think so often we've been taught a gospel which sort of talks in black and white terms. It talks of being a Christian, of being in, or of not being a Christian, of being out. As if once you're in, then actually you're done. That's it. And you've just got to do a load of jobs in the church. Does that ring true for some people? I think that is sometimes how we see it. But actually, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And if you want to grab a Bible, we're going to be flicking in some Bible passages. I would love people to just grab some Bibles and just be checking that what I'm saying is true. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 says something different. It says this. It says, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are being transformed, just like that little caterpillar has been transformed into a butterfly. It doesn't speak of a completed work, but of an ongoing process of transformation. We are a work in progress. And whether we've been a Christian for a few weeks, like some of you have here, or whether you've been a Christian 80 years, like some probably in the earlier service have, maybe some even here have, whether you are just a baby Christian just working out, or whether you have been to theological college and got one of these silly things. I mean, one of these things. All of us are a work in progress still. We're called still to increasingly become more like Jesus. I want to ask a question, and Paul Lithgow isn't allowed to answer this one. Does anyone know where this is? North London. It is White Hart Lane. Spurs Stadium. Now, they are in the process of building a new bit of building a new stadium there. And you can see all the land in front. Actually, a couple of years ago, that was a load of houses. That was a load of streets that they've had to knock the houses down to build the new stadium. And so that place used to be a whole load of streets. It is now has a new identity. It is the new White Hart Lane. But it is still a work in progress. In a couple of years' time, it will look like that. And you never know, one of these days I might even get there. And you know, in a similar way, when we become a Christian, when we say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, we become a new creation. We have a new identity as sons and daughters of God. We are different. We are not what we were, but yet we are still a work in progress. We are still under construction. God hasn't finished with us yet. We are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And one day, at the end of time, we will be in our finished state, as it were. And you know, this is what Rhythm 3 is all about being transformed into the likeness of Christ, being changed to become more like Jesus. The great Christian leader John Stott, who's now died, but at the age of 86 in his last sermon in 2007, said this. He says, "I want to share with you where my mind has come to rest as I approach the end of my pilgrimage on earth, and it is this. God wants his people to become like Christ. Christ-likeness is the will of God for the people of God." He had an amazing ministry, and at the end of his ministry, what he wanted to say was, actually, we are all to become more like Christ. That's almost the bottom line. Because actually, if we get that right, then everything else follows too. So I want us to have a look today and say, how are we transformed into the likeness of Christ? What does the Bible say? And I want to suggest that there are two parts to this, really. There's our responsibility, what I call imitation. Let's have a look at some verses. Ephesians 4, 22 to 23. You might like to flick to it. Just some of what it says. It says, "There, put off your old self and put on your new self." It goes on, "Put off falsehood and speak truthfully. If you've been stealing, then don't steal any longer. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." It talks about how we're to choose to stop doing the things which are not of God, the things of the flesh, and choose to do instead the things which are of God and are of the Spirit. It reminds me of that bit in the baptism service where, do you remember that bit in the baptism service where one of the questions is, do you turn away from evil? And you say, I turn from evil. And actually, in the olden days, they used to physically turn away from one way and look in the other direction and then say, do you turn to Christ? I turn to Christ. It's that reminder that when we become Christians, we say we're turning away from the things which are not of God and we're turning to the things which are of God. We have that choice to live God's way. 2 Timothy 2:22, another verse, it talks about fleeing the evil desires of youth. It's quite a strong word, isn't it? Fleeing. We're to run away from those things which actually are not of God's. We're to make that active choice to run away from that. And then Philippians 2, that lovely first century hymn, which talks about your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who in the very nature of God didn't consider equality with God something to grasp, but humbled himself. In other words, it's saying you need to choose to act like Jesus. Do you remember those bracelets, WWJD? Some of you may still have them somewhere. What would Jesus do? It's just a lovely reminder, isn't it, of what would Jesus do in those situations? That's what we're called to constantly ask and constantly do. But you know, I think there's a danger that sometimes we can simply take these verses and just try and be different in our own strength. You see, we can think that if I just am a better Christian, if I just try harder to be a better Christian, if I just conquer that sin, if I just have a better quiet time in the morning, and if I just pray harder, then actually I'll be all sorted. The danger is that we think it's all about us. But actually the truth is that we do have a big part to play, but it's not just about us. Because the Bible talks about something else too. The Bible talks that actually we don't have to do all in our own strength, because God's Spirit has a big part to play too. And that's the second part. Actually, that deep transformation doesn't come from our own hard work, but it comes from God's Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18, which we've heard already. We are being transformed by the Spirit, not by our hard work, by the Spirit. Ezekiel 36:26-27, that lovely words that Val read to us too. I, that's God, will give you a new heart, and I will put my Spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That's God's work. That's God's Spirit's work in us. You know, I wonder where each of us have a bit of a heart of stone. I have bits of my heart which are still very stony. Those bits which are hardened to God's way, those bits which I don't let God in. Those bits where perhaps the pains and hurts of the past have caused me to act defensively or act the opposite, act attackingly to others at times. Maybe there are people here who actually know that, if they're really honest, that they've completely hardened their heart to the things of God. And yet God wants to come in and break in, and he wants to change our hearts of stone and to melt them and to bring life again and to revive them and to give us a heart of flesh, one that's open, one that's willing to, for our hearts to be changed into hearts that are in tune with God's heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. God gives us that. We don't create it ourselves. God gives us it. We just have to be open to God's work in us. And then Galatians 5, we talked about last week, didn't we? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And these things are the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruits that we sow and we work. It's the fruit of the Spirit, God's Spirit working in us. You see, these verses highlight that it's God who ultimately transforms us. It's his Spirit which changes us into his likeness. So I want to think, how does this work? How do we put this stuff into practice? Well, I want to share with you a few things that I found really helpful. And the first thing I found helpful is something called reviewing your day, which comes from Ignatian spirituality. If you're interested. If you're interested in Ignatian spirituality, then come and talk to me. I will need a new battery because I need hands free in a minute. Because actually it's transformed my spiritual life, and I can give you some stuff which I found really helpful. But No. Hello? Yeah. There's a sermon illustration in there somewhere. From Ignatian spirituality, something in a more extended version is called the examine, but I've done a simplified version of this, which I simply call reviewing your day. And it basically is a way of just saying, set aside 10 minutes at the end of the day to review your day with God. And to ask some questions. Here are some questions which are asked. So what do you have to be thankful for? What's been good about your day? Spend time thanking God now. Where have you walked closely with God today? Where were you in tune with God's Spirit? Where were you out of harmony with God's Spirit? Where did you feel negative feelings? And what's God trying to say to you through those feelings? Is there anything you need to confess or ask God to heal and transform in you? And then finally, ask God for his graces, for his strength, and for his help to transform you in the days ahead. So I found that really helpful to do on and off. Just 10 minutes a day. Do it for an extended period of time and just see how God is at work in you. I've got a load of these that you can pick up later. That's one thing. But also I want to say, share with you another example that I found really helpful. And people at my last church found this particularly helpful too. And it's an example from a guy called Larry Christensen. And he wrote a book called The Renewed Mind. And this is what he says in it. He says, Christian growth is a cooperative work between the believer, between us and God. Attempting to do what is not our part is as great an error as neglecting to do what is our part. Indeed, one of the enemy's cleverest ploys is to goad us into doing that which is not expected of us, which in fact is impossible for us, and thereby to discourage us so that we end up not even doing that which is expected and possible. In other words, he's saying it's about us cooperating with God. We have our bit to do, and God, we open ourselves for God to do his bits. And he uses a really helpful illustration, which I resonate with, because on my gap year, I spent a gap year working on the North Circular Road for a civil engineering company, basically laying bits of concrete. And his example is to do with bits of concrete. So, when you lay concrete, what you do is you often will put down a bit of wooden, what they call temporary shuttering. And that little bit, this is rough and ready wood, you just make it into the shape that you want the concrete to be. And you construct that and put that together. And when you've put it together, you seal it all up and bang it all together. And then it's in the form that you want to pour the concrete into. And when the concrete is set, basically then you take away that wooden shuttering, it's no good anymore. And what you're left with is the final beautiful piece of concrete that I made earlier. And actually, he takes that analogy and he says, actually, look, that's a bit like how it works with us and God. He says, actually, that our job is to construct that temporary shuttering, that temporary outer woodwork. We're to create the form for God to fill. You see, we ourselves can't change our inner desires. We can't change those really deep feelings, the anger, the resentment, the impatience, the unforgiveness in our hearts. We can't give ourselves a new heart. Only God can. But what we can do is we can choose to construct that shuttering to put on the new self, to take off the old self, and allow God to fill it and do that deep work of transformation. You see, maybe we're struggling with a critical and judgmental spirit. Well, actually, our job is to say, I'm going to take a bit of my bit of shuttering, and I am going to say, I'm going to choose to speak positively. I'm going to choose to encourage rather than be critical. That's what we can do. Or maybe we're struggling with a family member who actually we're struggling to forgive, maybe. Mum and Dad are here. Thank you. I'm not talking about you. Don't worry. Actually, our job is to say, I'm not going to keep my distance, but maybe I'll write a letter to just extend a hand and actually be generous to them still. And actually not block them out of my life. That may be what our shuttering, our little bit of shuttering is to do in that situation. Or maybe actually we're struggling in our marriage and actually we find ourselves attracted to someone who's not our husband or wife. Well, maybe our bit of shuttering then is to say, actually, I know that's not right. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to not deliberately spend time with that other person. I'm going to actually delete them from my mobile phone so that actually I'm not tempted to send a bit of flirty text messages to them. And actually instead I'm going to choose to deliberately spend some time with my husband or my wife. And actually even though I'm struggling to feel it, I'm going to do that because it's the right thing to do. Maybe actually some of us might find that actually we're struggling by looking at things online that are not helpful to us. And actually, maybe our bit to do is to say, actually, when I'm tempted to view that stuff online, which is not helpful, or view that stuff on those channels on the TV, which is not of God's, then actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up my Bible instead, and I'm going to just read some verses which will help me resist that temptation. Or maybe I'm going to get a filter on my computer, which actually will allow me to not be drawn into that stuff and have someone to be accountable to. You see, that's what it means to put our shuttering up, to do our bit, and to say, these are the bits I can do. And when we've got those planks in place, we nail it together with faith, and we say, God, will you take my flimsy little structure, and will you use it to pour in your grace? You see, it's no good just to have done our bit, because actually it's not going to last. That won't last. I can kick it down if I want to. But actually what we then do is we say, God, will you do that permanent inner bit of transforming my heart? We've done the outer temporary work, but God then comes and pours by his grace. He pours his grace into our hearts and transforms our hearts. And one of the ways I've found it helpful to do this is by doing something which I call praying the graces. I'll simply specifically ask God to change me in a specific area. So I might say simply, like, Lord, will you give me the grace to forgive that person? I may not be able to. I may not be ready to forgive, but we can ask God to give us a forgiving heart. By your grace, will you pour your love for that person into my heart? By your grace, will you change my anger and give me, grow your peace and your self-control in my heart? We do our bit. We do that wooden temporary shuttering, but we then pray by God's grace that he would do that permanent work. I want to give you a... I've lost my stuff. I want to give you an illustration where I'm using this at the moment. And I've made my own little shuttering out of lollipop sticks. And I've got some lollipop sticks for anyone who wants them too. I ordered 1,000. And I've made my little temporary framework. And on this, basically I've got someone who, if I'm honest, I'm struggling with at the moment. They're not in this church, they're not in my family, it's all right, you're all clear. But I'm struggling with them. And I'm finding them really difficult. And I've prayed, God, how do I respond? I said, what's my shuttering in this situation? And I've written on here 4 things that I'm trying to do. Firstly is to pray blessing on them, to pray God's blessing on them. Secondly, it's to speak well of them where I'm tempted to actually speak critically of them to others, but I'm choosing to speak well. Thirdly, to remain generous to them, to keep giving to them, even though I'm a bit peed off. Am I allowed to say that? And fourthly, to seek to build bridges and not pull back from them. They're the 4 things that I'm particularly trying to do. And on the other side, I've just written the things that I'm praying that by God's grace he would do in me. So basically, I'm praying that he would give me his love for them, that he would give me a forgiving heart, that he would give me patience where I'm impatient, that he would give me self-control and peace when I deal with them. And I'm sticking that in my office, and I'm using that as a reminder to help me just try and offer this situation to God and allow him to transform me. I found this stuff really helpful, and a lot of other people I've shared it with have found it helpful too. But a bit of a warning, it's not necessarily a quick fix. It's not a case of, right, tomorrow I'll have sorted this. Actually, this stuff can take days and weeks and months and maybe even years. But actually, we're called to keep putting up our shuttering and to keep praying for God's grace to change us. And one more thing I want to share with you. And that's actually, we're not called to do this stuff together, but to journey with others. And this is a picture of my mates back in January up down near Chippenham. These are guys I trained with at college several years ago, and we meet once a year for 3 days and 2 nights to share our lives with each other. And so we meet, and each of us has half an hour at least to just share anything that they want to. And to share, this is what's going on in my life, these are the things I'm struggling with. And it's been lovely to see every year we've met, we've gone deeper and more honest with each other, to the point where this year people shared stuff which I wouldn't share with you. But you'd be stunned that actually this was the honesty and this was some of the stuff that actually vicars are grappling with. And I'd say pray for us as much as pray for you. But actually, one of the things we did this year is we said we had our whatever we wanted to speak for, and then we said, right, we have permission to ask each other, what's the one question you were hoping we wouldn't ask you today? Try that one. It's an interesting one. And we know each other pretty well, so we know each other what questions we need to ask each other. But that level of just accountability, that level of spurring each other on, it wasn't done in a critical, condemnatory way. But it was a done where we shared and then we prayed and then we invited the Holy Spirit to come and transform us and change us. And I know I came back different because I met with those guys and because we'd shared that deep level of friendship and honesty and openness before God. And we continue to do that throughout the year on our private Facebook group, so you won't be able to find it. But we continue to journey with each other because that's what it's about. It's about journeying together in this stuff. So as I come to finish, I just want to go back to what Rich Johnson said at our joint service a few weeks ago for those of you who are here. And if you weren't here, please do listen to it online because it was really a key word for us, I think. He was talking about the presence and power of God. And, you know, I so want to know the presence and power of God in my life and here, us as a church too. And I found it really helpful when he talked about Pentecost being like the rededication of the new temple, that we are the new temple. And that at Pentecost, God, it was as if God filled his temple again. He filled his people with his spirit, with his presence. But he went on to say this. He says, God's spirit dwells in holy places. God's spirit dwells in holy places. You know, if we want to be full of the spirit, if we want to know the presence and power of the spirit, if you want to be overflowing with the living waters of the Spirit into our communities, then we're called to be a holy people. We're called to be transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ. Because God's Spirit dwells in holy places. But the great news is that we don't have to do that on our own. We do our bit. But we pray that God would, by his Spirit, transform us and change us. And draw us more into the likeness of Christ. The question is, will we let God's Spirit transform us? You know, God never forces himself on us. It's actually up to us to say, I'm open, I'm ready. I'm going to let you into this bit of my life, which actually you haven't been let into for years, maybe ever. Come in, God, and come and transform me. Show me what my bit is, but come and transform me. We are a work in progress, all of us. But God is wanting to transform us into something even better and even newer than we have ever known. And actually, if we all allow God to fully transform us, just imagine the impact we can have in our workplaces, in our families, in our communities, in our churches. When we become more holy people for God's Spirit to dwell in, to pour into, and then pour out of. Can I just invite us to just have a moment of quiet? And I've just got a sense of God wanting to say, actually, he wants to transform all of us into the people that he's created us to be. That actually this isn't a load of rules of restrictions, but actually he's saying, this is what will help you be what you've always meant to be your true selves, if you allow me to transform you. And I want to just maybe ask you to just in the choir, open yourselves to God and say, what's the one area, one thing that you want to put on my heart today that you want to transform me in? What's the one area you want to be at work in my life? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a particular sin that you're struggling with. Maybe it's just actually a commitment to your career rather than to God, whatever. Maybe for some even, actually God wants to break your hard hearts and just make them hearts of flesh again and open yourself for the first time for a long time to him at work. Just ask him to show you what that one thing is, and then maybe say, what do I need to do? What's my shuttering? What are the four bits of shuttering that I need to put up? What do I need to do? And then what do I need to pray that God would do? Going to invite the band to come back up, and what I've got at different places around the church is there are two baskets at the front and one basket at the back, which I've just got a load of lollipop sticks in, and I want to invite you now or at the end of the service, whatever, if it's appropriate for you, just to come and collect four little lollipop sticks, and maybe when you get home stick them into a square like I've done and write those things on that he wants you to do and what he wants you to pray for. But maybe just for now, hold them and just use them as a prayer to say, God, how do you want me to respond? What steps do you want me to take? What do you want me to pray for? So as we're going to sing a couple of songs, as we're singing them, maybe if you want to come and collect those as a sign of saying to God, I want to be transformed, I want to open myself to you, then do. As well, what you'll find is the little reviewing your day sheets there, and on the back is that little analogy of the shuttering and basically what I talked about in summary form. Feel free to grab one of those. If we don't have enough, you can print them off the website yourself. They're all on there. But we're going to sing now, and I just want to invite you to respond however is appropriate for you. I'm going to invite those people who are on prayer ministry particularly to come and sit here. If anyone wants to have anyone pray with them particularly, do come and do that now. If you want to just sit and pray, if you want to pray with those around you, do. If you want to worship, if you want to just be in that quiet place, do whatever you need to do to allow God to continue his work in you.